And what I said at the end of the message last 2 weeks ago, I said that we need to have our heart established in God, in His goodness. So I want to begin the first half the message, which having, what does it mean to have our hearts established? Amen. So that's what I want to begin with. And so I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. And we are going to begin in Psalm 112, and we are going to read verses 6 to 8. 112. Psalm 112, 6 to 8. And it goes like this. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Amen. So I want to ask, what does it mean to have an established heart? So here, you know, what it means is, it means to be firmly established. What does it mean to be established? It means to be firmly settled in something we accept and believe in. It means to be secure in something you and I can trust, such as relationship, right? Do you trust your spouse? I sure hope so. Amen. Do you trust your good friends? And I gotta say good friends, because not all friends are good for you. Amen. Do you trust good friends? Amen. I hope so. So to be established means to be secured in that relationship, to believe in the relationship you're in, to accept the other person. That is to be established, to accept the other person in the relationship you're in. We as people of God, we should be established in our relationship with God. In other words, we should trust God. We should be established with His heart. Amen. We should be loving and trusting God every single day. The word is very clear. The word says we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And when we walk by faith, that means we are walking, trusting God in faith, trusting God, trusting that His words from His scripture are truth and that they will come to pass. We are establishing our hearts that our prayers, like Sister Venique said, will come to pass in the name of Jesus, because our hearts have been established with God. Amen? In His goodness, in His righteousness. And today, sad to say, it is very sad to say that today many, many people are living in fear. They're living in fear of sickness. They're living in fear of economic loss. They're living in fear of being alone. They're living in fear of politics. Some of them even fear other people. And the list goes on and on. And it's sad that many Christians fall into this as well. Amen? We've seen, we've heard news. I personally know people that I can call on them and I can talk to them. And in their voice, I hear the fear that they have. Whether it's in a situation, in a sickness, a circumstance, whatever it may be. But these are Christians. Amen? We're called not to fear, because fear is not from God. Because we have the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Fear is not from God. Amen? Amen. Some people are in the world, and may I say, yeah, some people are in the world, and they shouldn't be conformed to the world, especially Christians. Because the Word of God says, be not be conformed to the world. But we need to be conformed to His image of God. In other words, we need to be established in God, in His goodness, in His faithfulness, in His righteousness, in His Word. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us are in the Word of God, but the Word hasn't found a place in us. For some of us. Many Christians are trying to navigate life, go through life in their own strength. They may have a belief system, but they aren't necessarily established. We're talking about establishment. Established in trusting the Lord. I'm going to repeat that. Some Christians have a belief system, but they aren't necessarily established in trusting the Word of God, in trusting the Lord Himself. And the reality is that your heart will be established in what feeds it. So what are we feeding ourselves with? This is why this fasting for 21 days was key to this. Because all around us, there are many, many distractions.
Yes.
Are you being fed by the news? What is feeding you? Are you being fed by movies and entertainment? Are you being fed by gossip? Are you being fed by offense? Are you being fed by the lust of the world? Are you being fed by money? You see, we pursue that which we value. If you value the Word of God, your heart will be established in the pursuit of God. Amen? And when our hearts are not established in the pursuit of God, what happens? We open the door to doubt and unbelief. And remember I said before, when there's doubt and unbelief, your faith gets nullified. Your faith gets canceled out. Doesn't mean that your faith goes away. It just means that nothing you're pursuing happens. And you don't have the faith and the hope to even pray anymore because your heart is no longer established in God. So it's really, really key, and it's so important nowadays for our hearts to be established in the Lord. Amen? You understand what I'm saying, church?
Yes,
I pray.
Yes.
We gotta be established. We gotta have our hearts established. Because when we have our hearts established, then we can establish our hearts in His goodness. What we spoke about last 2 weeks ago. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4:8, look what it says. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Right? Have you ever been double-minded as Christians? I think all of us have. Amen. You pray for one thing, you pray for something, but yet your words that you're speaking maybe an hour later are negating exactly what you prayed for. That's having a double mind, right? So this verse isn't speaking of getting closer to the Lord in distance, right? This is speaking of intimacy and relationship. We can know God more and better. And when we quit submitting to the things of this world, when we stop submitting to establishing our hearts to the things of this world, right? We need instead to submit to God. Because we cannot establish ourselves in the things of the world. Or in the things that the enemy puts in your mind. Because the enemy is coming to destroy, kill, and steal your joy, your peace, your strength, your goals, your destiny, your purpose. That's what he's here for right now. And he's all around us. You may not see the demonic spirit around you, but they're around us. Amen. And this is why we have to have our hearts established in the Lord at all times. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Tuesdays. Not just on Wednesdays when we get together. Every single day, we need to have our hearts established in God. We gotta purify our hearts. We gotta draw closer to Him every day to know Him more and better. And as we walk with the Lord, as we walk with Him, we get closer to Him. And as you walk with the enemy of the things of this world, guess what happens? You get farther and farther away from God. And that's the truth. So we as Christians, we need to purify our hearts. Even like David said in the Psalms, Lord, examine my heart and see if there's anything that needs to be removed from me. Show me what needs to be removed. And that should be our prayers too. So Lord, show me if there's anything that's hidden within me, rooted deep in me, that does not please you. That does not align with your word, because I need to root it out. Lord, I don't want anything to interfere with our intimate relationship. And God will reveal it to you. Amen. And I want to show you that there are two different hearts. And the Bible speaks of two different hearts. Amen. In 1 Kings 11:9, if you want to go there really quickly. 1 Kings 11:9, it says this: so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And we all know Solomon. Solomon was King David's second son, right? And he was the one that when God said, ask me anything, right? And he didn't ask for riches, but he asked for wisdom. And God granted him the wisdom. Amen. And he built the most beautiful temple on earth. Amen. But look what it says here. It says that the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel. Amen. So you see, the danger of having had a relationship with God and then letting your heart grow cold or grow hard towards Him, there's a danger there, church. When we allow our hearts to stray away from God.
Mm-hmm.
When we allow our hearts to faint from God. Amen. Another example, what about King Saul, right? King Saul was Israel's first king. And he began well, right? He began as a promising and humble and a leader that was chosen by God to unite the tribes against the Philistines, right?
Yes.
But what was his downfall?
Got puffed up.
Yes, his downfall was marked by disobedience to God. Saul failed to wait for the prophet Samuel to offer sacrifices, and he disobeyed God's order to destroy the Amalekites.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he even became jealous of David. We read that through scripture.
Yes.
And he began to feel an overwhelming insecurity. And that led to him being rejected as king by the people. But when he first got called, the people were, they were happy. They were like, yes, we got our first king. Yes, we asked for a king and we got one. But yet, King Saul, he started well, but he didn't end well. His reign ended in tragedy, marked by fear, and he was even consulting witches. We read that in his story. So Saul's life is often viewed as a warning about the dangers of unchecked insecurity and disobedience. In other words, there's warnings about where is your heart established. Amen? We gotta have our hearts established daily in God, in His Word, in His righteousness. Amen? Look at it, and I want to give you another example because I, you know, this is a good one too. 2 Chronicles 17:6. Let's go there. I hope you're this word is sinking in. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 17:6, and it says, "And his heart." And I'm going to tell you who it is. "And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah." This verse is talking about King Jehoshaphat. All right? He was the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah. He's a king that he brought peace. He brought prosperity to Israel. And in his heart, he took delight in the ways of the Lord, the verse says. Amen. His heart was defined by a profound, courageous, and devotion to God that was often described as being delighted in God. He lifted up the ways of the Lord. And as the righteous king of Judah, his inner commitment, what he was committed to, prompted him to destroy idols and teach the people God's laws. So he led the nation into revival. And this is the story here. Amen. So his heart was established in God. So these three examples clearly show you that believers can be deceived and depart from the Lord. Amen. Solomon started well, didn't end well. King Saul started well, didn't end well. Even the Bible tells us that many, many, many people will fall away in the last days. Amen. Let not that be us. Amen. Let it not be us. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 12. Okay, 3:12. And it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Let's go to 13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Amen. Again, when our hearts are hardened, unbelief begins to settle in. And we spoke about unbelief. And what this verse is declaring, that it is unbelief that makes our hearts evil. It wasn't sin, church. It wasn't sin per se that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. It was unbelief. It was disobedience. Amen?
Amen.
So what are we trusting in right now? Because a heart that seeks the Lord delights in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 10. We're talking about being established in God with a heart. 119, Psalm 119, 10 says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." Amen? So this is verses saying that seeking God with our whole hearts will lead us to God's word, doesn't it? When we seek the Lord during the day, we just want to get into his word and even meditate on his word and maybe ponder on his word. And honestly, there's no way we can truly know God apart from his word. We gotta be in the word of God, church. We gotta be reading the word. It's reading the word where we learn about the Lord, where we learn about his goodness, where we learn about his righteousness, where we learn about walking by faith, where we learn from others like the Apostle Paul how he walked by faith every day. Even through his trials, even through his tribulations, even through his sufferings, Paul walked by faith. Amen? We can learn so much from the Word of God. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 7, 7. Matthew 7, 7. The Gospel. It says here, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Right?
Yeah.
So we just read before, in the verse before, in Psalm 119:10, that it says that with our whole hearts, we seek the Lord. David was seeking the Lord, right? Because David wrote that psalm. Now it's saying to ask, seek, and knock, right? So, in other words, the seeking, it never stops. And we need to be seeking the Lord more and more every day, right? More today, especially more today than ever. I mean, things are really gloomy outside.
Yep.
Outside of God's kingdom, things are really gloomy. This world, I thank God I haven't really gone on Facebook in the past 20, 21 days. Because I've heard some things and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to establish my heart in these news. I want to establish my heart in the Word of God so I can continue to believe and walk by faith and be hopeful. Amen.
Because
the news right now, they're more and more gloomy than ever before.
There is
so much heartbreak. There is so much violence. There is so much death and destruction happening. There's so much evil in this world right now. So we need to be anchored, established in the Word of God. So that when things we hear like this, they will not move you. They will not shake you.
Amen.
In the natural, right? In the natural, you're like, whoa. Whoa. Right? And you do get shaken in the natural. But you will not be moved. You will not allow that to move you because you are seeking the Lord and you are anchored on His Word. And that's the reality. We have to be established in the Word of God. We got to be established in His truth. Because the Word of God says that if you're in my Word, in John 8:31-32. If you are in my word, you are truly my disciples. And the truth shall set you free. Not just truth of the world. The truth of God's word will set you free. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world has a lot of truth in it. But we're not seeking the truth of the world. We're seeking the truth of the word of God. And that makes us free. Free from what? Free from fear. Free from anxiousness. Free from wavering. Because the reality is when we ask the Lord, when we petition things to the Lord, we got to act in faith without wavering. Because we got to ask according to God's will. We can't be asking according to our will. No, we got to ask according to God's will. And what is God's will? Well, it's in the Word. If you know the Word, you know His will. If you're in the Word, you'll know God. If you're in the Word, you will draw nearer, nearer, and nearer to Him. Because there is fruit from seeking the Lord. There's always fruit. Amen?
Amen.
So the more you're in the Word, the more the fruit, people can witness the fruit that is being produced and they can witness the fruit of the Spirit within you, around you, coming out of your mouth. Right?
Yes.
Like the Word says, as a man thinks, so he is. So what is coming out of your mouth? What's going to come out of your mouth is everything you have your heart established in. Amen?
Out of the mouth, the heart speaks.
Exactly. Amen? This is why it's so key to continue. We got to continue to seek the Lord. Matthew, let's go to Matthew 6:33, right? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first. In other words, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen? Again, seeking, because seeking never stops. Seeking is continual. And it
That's
is
right.
a passion that we should desire and have. It is what we live for. We live to seek the Lord. We live to please the Lord. And when your heart is tempted by other things, you begin to fall from the grace of God. You see? This is why it's so important to keep seeking the Lord, because our hearts can be deceitful. Our hearts can be tempted by the things of the world. And when you do get tempted, and when you fall, guess what? You fall from the grace of God. Because when we become distant from Christ, right, and follow our own works, maybe our own desires, amen, and even personal works, right, we do fall from grace. And what that means is you're breaking fellowship with God. So being established in seeking the Lord is the key. Listen to me. Being established in seeking the Lord is the key to all future victory and abundant life. You want to live an abundant life? Seek the Lord. Establish
Amen.
Your heart in God.
Amen.
Because it is the key to your victory.
Amen.
And we know that we have, church, we have the victory already, because the Lord Jesus already overcame the enemy. We're walking in victory today.
Yes.
But we got to be established in His Word. Our hearts have to be established in the Word of God. And not only in the Word of God, our hearts need to be established in His goodness. Because God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Let's
Amen.
Go to Psalm 27:13. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. And this is one of the most powerful revelations that we can establish. It's the revelation of the goodness of God. It is a huge revelation. If you know and if you believe God is good, man, you can definitely count that things your belief will fall into place. You will be walking by faith. Amen. The hope of God's blessing and faithfulness is what keeps us, what keeps you and me from fainting. Like Sister Dorcas used that word before, that we don't faint, right? So the hope of God's goodness, His faithfulness, His blessing is what keeps us from fainting, from falling away from God. And notice, this is a psalm from David, right? And David's hope wasn't just for heaven, right? He expected to see the goodness of God while he was still alive. And that's right. What we need to expect as well. The more we grow in knowing God's goodness, the more our faith will be strengthened. Amen? Yeah. Because let me tell you, we need our faith to be strengthened nowadays. Because the unbelief wants to come in.
Amen.
Your five senses wants to come in and disturb your faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Disobedience wants to come in and nullify faith. Remember, we said that King Saul fell because of what?
Disobedience
and unbelief. We don't want to be there. Okay? We want to grow in knowing God's goodness every single day.
Yes.
Because that means that when we know that and we walk in God's goodness, our faith will continue to grow. Amen? The more, it will be strengthened. We can't even say grow, because all we need is faith as small as a mustard seed. We don't need anything bigger than that. But our faith will become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger and stronger every day, especially nowadays. Amen? We need to walk by faith, and certainly not by sight. Certainly not by what we hear. Certainly. Amen?
Amen.
Certainly not by what others are speaking that are not in the Word of God. This is why it's so key to know the Word of God, because it is the truth of the Word that will keep us free. And we don't fall in the deception of the enemy. Because how many know that the enemy uses people?
Yes.
He oppresses people to bring deception into our lives, to bring lies into our lives.
Yes.
The enemy oppresses people. And people, Christians, they're also fooled. I mean, we've seen it. I know people who have been fooled by the enemy. And the enemy wants to kill and destroy and steal the purpose that God has for Beacon of Light Church, the purpose that God has for our own individual lives, the purpose that God has for our own families who serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You can't allow that to happen.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
That's right.
So the goodness of God is really revealed in Scripture. It's revealed throughout our life. Look at your family. That is goodness right there. Look at it in this ministry. Goodness of God. Every day we're learning.
Amen.
Every week we're learning. I don't know about you, but these Bible studies, I've done these Bible studies already. And I'm repeating it again for the second time. And I'm just learning, and I'm learning something new every day. And every week we get together, there's some new revelation that comes in. This week we're going to talk about the healing in the atonement. Like, if that doesn't spark your interest, I don't know what does. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in divine health.
Amen.
So I want to know what Scripture has to say about the healer. Amen?
Amen.
Because when we got saved, healing came with it. It was a full package deal. I've been saying this. Again, this is the Word, and the truth of the Word will set you free. More and more, I'm confessing the healer in my life every day, more and more. I'm not getting younger, I'm getting older. Amen? And every day I'm confessing the Word over my life. I'm confessing the Word over people that call me, that need prayer. I'm confessing, decreeing, declaring the Word over them.
Amen.
God is a good God. He's given us revelation. Amen. So we can walk in total freedom. We can walk by faith and not allow unbelief, right? Or the five senses to come in and nullify our faith. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. I got a couple more scriptures and we'll be done for today. Amen. But let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 35. Hallelujah. This is the Lord speaking. If it's in red letters in your Bible. And he says here, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he, and he is in capital, right? This is talking about Christ. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Amen? Did you read that?
Yes.
Does this boggle your mind a little bit? Why would God be kind to the evil? Because very often, right, what happens is we expect God to take on our offenses, right, and judge evildoers, right?
Yes.
But it's saying here that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil one. Does that shock you? We're talking about God. God is good. God is love. God. We're talking about the goodness of God.
Yes.
And this is so unlike the fallen human nature, right?
Right.
Because we don't like people, you know, that do wrong to us. Amen. We want them to be judged. We want the wrath of God on them right away, right? That's our human nature, right?
Yep.
And honestly, this is the kind of love that has now been deposited inside every true believer. The kind of love that is unconditional. No. God has called us to love our enemies. God has called us to pray for our enemies. He has called us to be kind to the unthankful and the evil one too. If God said it, it's true. And this is the truth here. The kind of love that you portray or that you walk in is how unbelievers will know that you are truly a disciple and follower of Christ. What are you showing to others?
Mm-hmm.
Are you loving them unconditionally? Or do you have an attitude, a bad attitude? Because we can have a good attitude. Do you have a bad attitude with others when they offend you? When they hurt you? When they reject you? Whatever it is. But here the Word is saying that God, if God is kind to the unthankful and the evil one, we should be too. If God forgave us, we should forgive too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If God gave, we should be giving. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Word is saying. So God, this is because God is good, because His nature is good.
Amen.
God is good to all. He came not just for the just, but also for the unjust. He came for the world.
Amen.
He came for the entire race, all cultures, all cultures, all nations, all colors. He came for the world.
Yes.
Amen. And let's go to James 1:17. The book of James 1:17. I love the scripture. Look at what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Amen. Every perfect gift, every good gift comes from the ultimate beacon of light, which is Father God, our Heavenly Father. Because God is good.
Yes.
Listen, people get healed all around us because of the goodness of God. I've seen people healed. I witnessed miracles happen. All of the good that happens in this world right now, whether to believers or unbelievers, declares that there is a God who is merciful and good.
Right.
Amen. We see it. We serve a merciful God. His mercies are new every morning. So James, you know, what James is saying here is that God only puts good and perfect opportunities in our path. Adversity may come, but it doesn't come from God. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's of the devil. Remember, John 10:10, the enemy does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord Jesus has come to give us an abundant life, an even more abundant, a good life. Amen? That's what the word says. Because we serve a good God. And James here, he goes on to say, right, that there is no variables or shadow of turning with God. This is to say that it's an absolute truth. There are no exceptions. God is always good. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We serve a good and great God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So an established heart will have God's vision. Do you have a vision that God has placed in your heart? Do you have a vision? I know this church has a vision. Do you have a vision for the church? Do you have a vision for your life? Church, an established heart will have God's vision for the future of your health. It will have a vision for your future of your relationships, for your children, for your job. And like I said, and in this ministry, and every other aspect of life that you're dealing with right now, that you have, that is in front of you. The Word of God says you will seek and you will find. Mm-hmm. And you will see. You will give, right? It's in the Word. You will speak, you will pray, and you will do the Word of God. Because mm-hmm. your future is established in your heart. All this is good. This is good word, church. All this is good. The goodness of God is revealed to you every single day, and more so in His Word.
Amen.
More so in His Word. And in closing, I'm going to say this, that goodness has but one source, and that is God.
Amen.
That is God.
Yes.
Amen.
So here we see, you know, in closing, your heart, my heart, your heart, we need to be established in the Word of God. We need to have our hearts established in the goodness of God. God's goodness is being revealed every day. It's revealed in your life. It's revealed in your ministry, in your jobs, in the family that you have, and in our church, in the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
It's revealed all around you. All you got to do is just remain, be anchored, and be established with your heart in Him and in Him alone, in God. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you were blessed by this word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.